Okay, we're live. It's me, Hugh, and Paul. Paul's here. Hey, hello. Paul. And this is the Primetime Live with Paul, because it's primetime, and you're Paul. And we're here. We got some great guests. Paul, take it away.
Yeah. So today, is Mike in the right spot?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Okay, good. So today, it happened to work nicely, actually, because this past weekend, saw my buddy Eli at Queen's Park. It was like a blast from the past. Hey, Eli. Because the very first protest that I attended ever in my life, and it happened to be the first one for COVID, and that was about, almost approaching 2 years now. And it was week number two at Queen's Park, the week after Doug Ford called us all a bunch of yahoos. And Eli was one of the very first people I met, and I remember meeting him and talking about his diet right away, how he only eats fruit, and 90% of the time, and then the other 10% is nuts, and the people think he's nuts, but it's actually quite impressive. And when you take a look at some of the things that he could do with his body, it's like, oh, wow, that's all I gotta say. He's a stuntman in film, and he knows a thing or two about a thing or two, as Tina would put it, about health and viruses. So,
and we got Royce here too. Royce knows a thing or two as well about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually eager to learn more.
And
this is the first time I got to meet him, and I heard a lot. So,
so we're just having a roundtable conversation. I'm not sure. Go, Royce. Or Eli.
Hey.
Yeah, Eli. Okay, yeah. Eli. Touch, brief introduction, Eli.
Yeah, okay. So, as you heard, my name's Eli, Eli Martyr. I have a YouTube channel for anyone that's interested, called the Free Melon Society. And, basically the premise behind that is health, wellness, spirituality. I like to get into natural law, natural science, the principles that undergird and govern reality. And I like to talk about all that on my channel. So, that's something that's a relatively new project. It's been about maybe 4 years in the making now. I'm a stuntman. I'm a professional stuntman. I've been for many years now, probably over 10 years. And over that time, in the course of that time, I've always been a very good student. So I'm an independent researcher. I've consuming book after book after book on lots of different subjects. Being a stuntman, I've always been very into athletics, and of course, health and wellness seemed to be a right fit for me in terms of the subject material that I was always interested in. And so, as I was studying, I learned a lot and got into how the world works, the medical institution, its origins, what it was designed to do, what they omitted from the picture. And once you start getting into that, then I started discovering all these things that in terms of health and wellness that are not popular in culture, but are definitely true. And it turns out that truth and what is popular in culture are not always, they don't always see eye to eye. So anyhow, that's what I get into on my channel. That's what I like to talk about. And that's pretty much all you need to know about me, unless I'm forgetting anything. I stubbed my toe on the way here. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we know there's only one way to fight COVID, and that's to get the vaccine. I don't know. What else could you talk about?
You're hurting me. Killing you.
Yeah. What is COVID?
A great question. I don't think anybody knows.
That's right.
I mean, the best minds in the field, and I don't know if you want to qualify best when I say the word best, but the people that we look to for the answers, they don't know. I mean, this thing seems to appear or exist only on a computer screen. Nobody's identified the virus.
Right.
I'm going to put this in quotes. We're going to be chatting about this today, but nobody's identified the virus. Our tests don't test for the presence of the virus. We're just identifying fragments and pieces of material that could belong to anything that's inherent in the body. So,
Yeah, because they found a cucumber that had COVID.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
A papaya, a goat.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you don't believe Eli, the inventor of the test said it himself that it's useless, it's meaningless for detecting a virus. But you can't really ask him because he happened to die shortly after, as we mentioned last week, Kerry Mullis.
Yeah, very convenient.
What's it called? I personally think when it comes to if there's anything new, I mean, that's one of the problems is that people are creating, even people that are supposedly on our side. You know, there's this rumor that there's a bioweapon going around. And I agree, there is a bioweapon. I think it's also in the VACCINE. I think that would be the bioweapon for me personally. I also wouldn't put 5G past me. And I don't want to open up a can of worms when it comes to that stuff or what they're spraying in the sky or what we're consuming on a daily basis, because Eli's pretty prominent on talking about, you know, healthy living in general. But my main thing is to counter the mainstream narrative, which is false. It's to line the pockets of the people who are paying them. And to touch on what Eli said, it might not be the most exciting, but I think that we can make it exciting. And that's kind of what I aim to do. That's what I think we should all aim to do, make it exciting and motivating to get the truth out there. Because if what they are saying is true, right, and follow the science, not follow the money, follow their science, then what's the need to lie? If you're telling the truth, then why do you have to manipulate a story? You know, and that can apply. That's applicable to any situation. You know, if you're in a fight with your girlfriend, if you're in a fight with your employer at work, why are you going to manipulate a story if you're telling the truth? Right. So, yeah. Royce, anything to say about that?
Well, I have to agree with you. The I tell people that they're concerned about the so-called COVID. It's never been identified, and there's been two court cases, one on that, one in Calgary and one in Spain. The case was thrown out because the Crown and the Health Department could not show where the whatever it was, we'll call it the pathogen, was never isolated. Which brings up another point is, how in the hell can you make a vaccine when you don't know what you're making it for?
Yeah.
So that's the fact. Now, they should never call it a vaccine. You notice they call it the jab sometimes, but they always bring in vaccine.
We're going to try to refrain from that word too.
Yeah. When I was a kid, vaccines just started in the 50s. We had polio, smallpox, something. And we had about three or maybe four of them. They never caused death or pain. Some kids claim their arm was sore, but those were real vaccines with dead or weakened pathogens that the body reacted to. I didn't have a problem with them. And I didn't until the 70s. And then I started to find out that they're adding crap to the vaccine. They call them adjuvants to create more response, like lead, mercury, other things. Anyway, that's the bottom line. And as a health coach, I'm very interested in this. And you listen to some of the experts. Like, I just was at a convention in Niagara Falls, Wellenport. 500 people showed up. And three of the best speakers there were professors from University of Guelph. And they were being criticized for telling the truth. We don't need that. We need nothing but the truth. So I'm the founder of the Canadian Anti-Corruption League, which will be a political party based on truth. I'm a health coach, as I mentioned. I deal with almost everything I do with nutrition and oxygen. We're curing people all the time. Now, I can't take credit for it because I just teach them how to do it. If they don't follow the instructions, I can't help them. But the last lady that called me to tell me her breast cancer disappeared cost her $40. How's that? You know, and again, she used oxygen and diet. So the whole medical thing is an industry. It's not a medical, what do you call it? It's not a profession, as I call it. It's an industry. And it's all about money.
Yeah. And I actually want to get right into the slideshow that I watched from you, because I thought it was so relevant. And it was amazing, really, breaking down the issue at its core. And it ties into exactly what you were saying. And to phrase yourself, Eli, you said, why on earth would they want to have a cure, or would they want people to know that there is no virus or a cure for something that doesn't? Why would they want to help you when it's literally going to take away trillions of dollars in profit for them? And if you look on the flip side, why on earth would we be racing here through rush hour traffic and taking time out of our lives and not getting paid a dime to do this, other than just for the greater good and knowing that we're exposing the truth, exposing the lies and bringing the truth, yeah. Right? Like there's nothing in it for us. We're not, nobody's telling us what to say, right? We're free thinkers. We're doing so. Anyway, let's go right into your slideshow. You mentioned polio and smallpox and that. I don't know if you wanted to touch on that first or just start off with, because I think I'm really interested to learn. You know, people say people ask about the swine flu they'll resort to that as examples of, you know, Bill Gates helping people. And, I immediately start laughing, but I don't really have the most, I don't know what to say, to tell you the truth. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, okay. I give an answer like this, I always want to give it a little bit of context and give, put the listeners on at least a platform that gives them some sure-footedness before you move on. Because we need a little bit of a foundation to understand before we start getting into all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if I'm to do that, if that's my task, is to give this foundation of understanding.
Yeah.
What we have to recognize is that nature, right, creation, the way that reality works, okay, nature has constructed a system that is extremely intelligent and beautifully harmonized in all its manifestations. I mean, so you go to the forest, you go to a mountain range, and just look out at the world and just take it in, for example. A seed growing from the ground into an oak tree. This is completely inexplicable. If anyone tells you they know exactly what's going on, what forces are involved, you know, how that information unfolds from this tiny seed that goes into this sprawling oak, if anyone tells you they know exactly how that's working, they're lying to you, right? This is the grandeur and absolute intelligence of nature running in absolute perfect harmony with everything, okay? Now, there are the principles that are at work that have created this grand orchestra of life, all right? It's all designed to work in harmony with all the other elements, and there's nothing evil in that design. So everything has a job, okay? Everything in nature has a job. Every element of life, every molecule, every atom, everything, all right? In a living system, in a biological system, is designed to sustain that system and unfold the greatest degree of health, wellness, and growth and development in that system. So nature was not foolish enough. That same intelligence that I described with the growing of the tree, childbirth, okay? Sorry, I'm digressing a little bit. I might have to do that from time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
Childbirth. Yeah. If anybody tells you they know what's happening with childbirth, where the information is coming from. I get the DNA and everything, okay, things we can observe. But the guiding principle that informs the unfoldment and puts together all the elements of life and creates a human being out of nothing but a loving exchange between two people. If anyone tells you they know what's happening here, they're lying. They don't know. No, this is completely beyond human understanding. But when nature is in charge and she guides the operations of life, she does it with perfect harmony at all times. And there's nothing in that construction that is destructive deliberately, or there's nothing that in the design has been overlooked, right? Yeah. It's a beautiful system. Okay. Yeah. So saying all that, right? Inherent in all life is a program of defense, all right? The right to self-defense. This is programmed in every single cell, every single animal, every single human being. Okay. So you have systems that are developed, that are, excuse me, that are responsible for constructing tissue in the body, for digesting and assimilating. And you also have another body of biological agents that are responsible for house cleaning, okay, and purging and cleansing.
Yeah.
It's funny because you see this at all scales of existence. You know, you have a city, for example. The city has sanitation engineers. We have repairmen. We also have construction workers that are responsible for building and construction. Yep. But you also have agents that are responsible for cleaning and getting rid of waste. If we didn't have those, then waste in the city would just pile up to an insurmountable degree, and then it would just be chaos, right?
Yeah, and then there's jobs within the job, on a construction site. You have carpenters, you have electricians, right?
Of course. You have this beautiful system that does what? That goes to making a well-running city.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Life, if you think humans are capable of this type of organization in a city, you can imagine that Mother Nature has done it before, okay? And she's done it better, okay? Now, in the human body, in the animal body, in the skunk's body, the chipmunks, whatever, right? You have this same thing. You have the same principle whereby there are agents that are dedicated to the maintenance and to the protection of the body. So my point here in giving this context is that what the medical community has done is that they've identified agents of cleanup and breakdown in the human body or in the animal body, in the biology of life. They've identified this group of agents that are responsible for cleaning the body and bringing out the best in the body when there is a threat or an offense in terms of metabolic waste products, environmental waste products. Any type of waste product that enters into the body in some way, shape, or form, we have an entire division in our bodies that is responsible for purging those things, that those foreign entities that shouldn't be there. Right? We have a division, a class of biological entities that's designed to do that.
So that would be your detox, what people would say, kind of.
Yes. Yes. So that would include your viruses, your bacterias, your funguses. All of these things, all these biological entities, none of them are evil. Okay. None of them are bad. Okay. Now, what the medical institute, what allopathic medicine has done is that they've taken these biological entities, okay, and they've flagged them and they've placed them under the umbrella of evil entities that you have to safeguard yourself from, right? It's a misnomer. It's not correct. It is not how nature has designed life. These things are they don't live outside in the ether anywhere. They all reside inside your body at all times.
Yeah.
No different than a fireman or a fire truck resides in the firehouse. And it stays there, doing nothing, unless there's a fire in the city to go and solve or to put out. Now, when there's no fire, you would never say that the fire truck doesn't exist.
Or he's a carrier. Is that what you're getting at?
No. I'm just saying that it's not that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It always exists.
Yeah.
It's just that it only comes out when there's work to be done.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Bacteria, viruses, fungi, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't exist in your body and you get them because you're infected by them from the. No. They're always there. It's just that they show up when you have made unfortunate decisions in your life that create toxemia. When I say toxemia, that's toxins in the blood.
Yeah.
Okay. Or any kind of foreign poisonous matter that comes into the body, then these things they spring into action. They purge the system. That purging process, there are a lot of byproducts of their action, which is what we experience when we have symptoms. And when the process is done, when they've cleaned up everything that they need to clean up, you get well. The viruses, the bacteria, the fungi, they go back into hiding and they wait for the next time when their services are required.
Okay.
And that's essentially what's happening. You're never what we're seeing in the whole spectrum of disease and illness and, you know, conditions of humanity What we're seeing is we're seeing natural systems kick into gear when they need to kick into gear in order to bring out the best in a biological entity. You are not seeing evil entities floating around in the air that are just waiting, like, you know, rubbing their hands and then just like cackling to themselves malevolently, going, I wonder who I'm going to infect next. No. This is an ancient superstition meant to instill fear in the population.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not how it works. Nature was not so stupid as to construct life, you know, construct these evil entities that destroy nature's design. Why the hell would she create life like that?
Yeah.
No, that's not what happens, right? Yeah. So that's a long-winded way of giving some context to this understanding of what we're seeing in the world when we see symptoms. Symptomology of any kind, any sort, any color, any character, what you're seeing is life trying to preserve life.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not seeing a threat from the outside. You're seeing a threat from the from the inside.
Yeah.
Right, like an infection is really, you could reverse it. You could say it's an outfection. It's a cleansing from the inside out.
Yeah,
right. It's not that something's coming in. Well, something might be coming in. You could be poisoned from, like, you know, aerosol or whatever. Not aerosol. Mm. Sorry, pollutants in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a toxic
environmental toxic biological.
From the outside coming in.
Yeah.
So your body would have to respond to that. So in that case, yes, things are coming in and poisoning you.
So your those are the good guys responding to whatever your body is trying to giving it difficulty, and then what you're seeing in the symptoms, whether it be a cough, whether it be vomiting, diarrhea, sweating, whatever it is, those are symptoms, and that's your body cleaning itself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, imagine. Okay. Let's make this really easy. Imagine if we go to a nightclub, you know, and we get drunk, drink a whole bunch of alcohol, just drinking all night. What is the expected result of that behavior? The expected consequences of that behavior is you might get really sick. You might throw up. You might have to purge in some way. Now imagine some fool were to come around and say, okay, vomiting is the enemy to be waged war on here.
Yeah. Right?
Vomiting is the enemy. Vomiting is not the enemy. You need to vomit if you want to get that crap out of your system.
Or sweat, or go sit on the toilet, or whatever. Stuff.
Yeah, whatever it is, right? But that's what the medical institution has done. They've taken symptoms, which denote a detoxification of some kind.
Yeah.
And they've said, that is the problem. Well, excuse me, that's what I need to happen in order to get well. So if I stop that process, then what does that mean? It means that the poisons that my body were trying to expel, if you stop the process, then where do they go? They go bloody nowhere. They stay in your
build
body.
Up, yeah. Build up.
They build up and build up. And that means you'll be worse the next time and worse the next time.
Yeah. Right? And then your body gets accustomed to feeling sick. You kind of lose the feeling of feeling vibrant and healthy.
Right. I hope that makes the audience queasy. Imagine you had to throw up, and then all of a sudden you take a pill and you don't have to throw up anymore. Great. So what happened to all the stuff that your body was trying to throw up?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. It just sits there, right?
Yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah. So when you take antivirals, antibacterials, my goodness. Oh, God bless you if you take an antibacterial. I hope you get well. You want these things to do their job and purge your system.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you will be way worse off the next time.
Yeah, your body's giving you signs pretty much. That's the way I look at it. You know, same as like if you're in pain, you can take a painkiller, but it's really not doing you any favors.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a ton of other problems. Where else are we going to go from there? I'm trying to think back to your slideshow now. And
where is this slideshow?
Well, it's a slide I made for one of my one of the videos on my channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, that's okay. I mean, in the slide that you saw, you probably just saw me give a lot of this kind of backdrop of information. We talked about. I'm sure someone's mentioned Colt's postulates on the show before.
We take bets on that.
We take bets. Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to know is why do you think so many people are going along, like, to me, I'm to me, it's like I find it so hard to believe that people who are supposedly awake, right? And, you know, like we all had the courage to come and, you know, go against the norm and speak out and everything, which is great. But I feel like a lot of these people, a lot of the people who are just coming forward now, it's almost like they feel like they need to make a compromise with other people. And they need to say, well, I believe the virus is real, but, you know, it's not as deadly as what people think it is. And I feel like everybody's trying to kind of make a compromise, but they don't really realize the impact that it's having because it's causing a lot of confusion. Because if you go with that, or, you know, I even hear these doctors coming on and saying, yeah, well, you know, kids should not be taking a vaccine because, or a VACCINE, because, you know, kids have a way higher survival rate than adults. Meaning, okay, like if kids have symptoms of a flu, right, you know, like it's less likely to kill a healthy kid as opposed to somebody at a very old age with, you know, not as healthy of an immune system. But they're forgetting the point that it shouldn't be a risk to anybody. Or sorry, if there is no virus, then nobody needs to get that needle, right? So why do you think it is that people aren't just you know, flat out saying there is no virus? Do you think it's too much for people to grasp? Or,
well, it is. The media, which most people watch, people in this room probably don't watch it, is promoting a lie. So you may, my sources are from alternative doctors who are respected by everybody but the drug companies. And like Mercola just had a statistics on today that the vaccinated are dying 9 times faster than the unvaccinated. The abortions, and people, women can't carry full term. This is, the numbers are astronomical compared to before this so-called pandemic. Yeah. The cure is worse than the disease. Now, for instance, well, they never even mentioned the alternative treatments. We all know about ivermectin, chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, and the vitamin D, vitamin C, and the zinc. But Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia stopped their death rate in its tracks by using chlorine dioxide, which is a form of oxygen that I use as an oxygen therapy. They could have probably used hydrogen peroxide. They might have been able to use ozone. But chlorine dioxide is very gentle on the body. So in the case of Ecuador, when they asked their powers to be in the government, we want to try this chlorine dioxide. And they said, okay, trial. 100 people, 3 days to live, see what happens. Well, at the end of the week, the last person walked out of the clinic where they're doing the trial, and not one of the 100 died. Then Peru did it, and then Bolivia did it. Bolivia went a step farther and made it legal. It was illegal because the drug company said, if you use chlorine dioxide, you're not getting a special deal on drugs. They had to do it this time because the drug companies weren't producing anything for a cure. Now, we do have cures, you know, like we mentioned, ivermectin. So you got all these cures. Now, what do you hear on the radio? So many new cases. So many new cases. All you hear is, they don't tell you about the ones that if they did cure anything. Oxygen cures it. Ozone will kill a virus in 1.3 seconds. It's a gas with 3x oxygen. It only lasts 25 minutes. That's how, but it cleanses the air, it cleanses the body. Hydrogen peroxide, very similar. It's a liquid with 2 extra oxygen atoms. It lasts longer. And then chlorine dioxide in the body lasts 15 minutes. But it does its job in 15 minutes.
I want to go back to what Eli was saying and, you know, go back to our ancestral roots and how the body's designed to function. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we need any of these fancy things, ivermectin included. I think I think we should be looking at the big picture. And, you know, there's something that's causing our body to produce these symptoms. And it all comes down to your lifestyle and the stuff that you're consuming in the first place. There's no easy fix to anything. Right?
Well,
if you want to take ivermectin or whatever for a flu, you know, for symptoms or whatever, by all means, it might make you feel better at first. Maybe you need it, But in the long term, you got to look at what's giving you those symptoms in the first place and live a healthy lifestyle conducive to that, right? And once again, ivermectin is not tackling a virus. A virus is a good thing. That's what's in your body, right, Eli?
Yeah.
And that's your firefighter going to work to put out that fire. Yeah. That's what the virus is. So ivermectin is not tackling that virus. Ivermectin is tackling the symptoms which are being expelled through the detox process from your viruses going to work to clean your body from whatever you took in. That's not natural. Am I right?
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah.
Don't forget our immune system. Our diet has wrecked our immune system. It's in our gut, and it's the most valuable thing we have for fighting disease naturally.
Yeah.
How do you get the immune system to work better? You got to go back to, like, in industry, we always went to what we call root cause analysis. The diet is number one. And I'll mention the fact that North America is very famous for having the highest population dying of malnutrition on a full stomach. We're not getting nutrition.
Let me hop in here. Also, Eli, I actually quoted it in the what's it called? The promo.
Oh, the promo for this?
A quote of yours. Fear is the only virus you can catch.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that because as important as diet is, you can eat whatever you want. You can eat the healthiest things there are. But if your body is in a state of fear, your cortisol levels are through the roof, then you will not digest those nutrients. And that's what's going to make you susceptible to all these illnesses, and then you're going to see the symptoms, it's the fear, and that's exactly what the media is doing. That's exactly what the government is. That's exactly what they want to do, is put fear in people, and then they make irrational decisions. Yep. So I don't know if you guys want to elaborate.
Don't forget fasting, which is the opposite of nutrition, is a huge cure in itself. The body now can fight off because it doesn't have all this stuffing.
Yeah, so it's not. It's actually, I'm trying to actually get to that point where less is more. You know, instead of adding stuff, add this treatment to cure this. Maybe it's a matter of taking in less, right?
Yeah. I just want to remind people: there's only one cure for COVID, and that is to take the vaccine.
Yeah. And I mean, so guys, for people watching this, for people who are still on the fringe and they're thinking something's up, like when I started realizing the mainstream media just doesn't make sense, is red flags. Look for these red flags when they tell you vitamin D is not, trying to tell people that vitamin D is not a cure. Well, okay, it's not a cure. No one ever said it was. But when they're telling you to stay home and not go outside and clearly steering you away from vitamin D, stuff like that, I mean, red flag, when you're getting your vitamin D, you feel amazing. You feel your hormones.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you imagine in the Second World War if the government had said, okay, folks, the Germans are a big problem. We want everybody to stay in their house until we fix the German problem.
Yeah.
Then you can come out again.
Now, speaking of vitamin D, that is also an immune system enhancer.
You said something, Paul, you said something earlier that I thought was really, really important. And that was when we're fighting the wrong battle, all right? So we go after the wrong thing. When we are experiencing a detox of some sort, what we do is we see the symptoms, and then of course the medical community or physicians will jump all over that, and then they'll say, okay, well, we've got to suppress the symptoms. But the real question we need to be asking ourselves, mm-hmm. that seems to be out of the conversation for whatever reason, is why are you expressing your symptoms?
Yeah.
Because as we said before, nature's not stupid. She does everything with incredibly calculated mathematical precision. So if you are and here's the other thing, is that we tend to we tend to dismiss the common spectrum of just mild symptoms as normal, because the culture is so pathological that everyone seems to experience this common level of sickness. But just because it's normal doesn't mean that it has to be necessarily the way it is. So getting back to what I was saying is that, let's say you experience a cold all of a sudden. Okay, you wake up one morning and you're just not feeling well. Mucus, runny nose, sore throat, all this kind of thing. It happens to you every once in a while, and you know, you figure, okay, well, this is just going to afflict me for a couple of days, and it does, and it goes away after 3 days, okay, and then you carry on. Most people do exactly that. They simply carry on. But it's important to ask, why did my body have to respond to my life and my lifestyle in that way? That is a very important and powerful question, because if you can get the answers to that question, what you've done is you've sufficiently empowered yourself to become a healthier human being. And if you are going through this occasional flu, bug, whatever you want to call it, conventionally, that's not how it works, but I'm just using the typical vernacular here. So when we have this 3 day cold or whatever, and then we go to the doctor, go to the physician, and we get drugs to accommodate that, what we're doing is we're asking to have our cake and eat it too. We want to live a lifestyle that onboards toxins, that that makes us sick, but yet we don't want to deal with the consequences of that behavior.
We want a short fix.
We want a short fix, and there's no such thing. We always have to be willing to accept the consequences of our behavior. Now, there's one thing I want to stress here. Whether treatments to symptoms are pharmaceutical in nature, synthetic in nature, or whether they're natural from the naturopathic point of view, okay? There's something to be said here. Most all pharmaceuticals are created by using natural products.
Yes, sir.
Natural plants, you know, in some way, shape, or form, okay? So what they're doing is they're extracting elements, and they're concentrating elements from these natural plants, right? Concentrating them in a way, preserving them in a way so that they can put them in a pill or whatever. Okay. So, even natural products. So let's say, I don't know. Just some herb that suppresses symptoms. Right? Okay. Let's take garlic, for example, garlic and onion, right? These are natural antibiotics, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you go into the Google and you say, well, you know, just type in benefits of garlic, benefits of onion, you will get inundated with a deluge of articles and, you know, whatever. That say, oh, antibacterial, so good, kills viruses, kills bacteria, whatever. You'll get all that, okay? This is a natural product. Now, when you take garlic into your body, it does exactly as it's purported to act. It's an antibacterial. It kills bacteria. It kills life. Bacteria are life forms, and that's what these things do. So when you are experiencing this cold, and you go to Google, you get your dose of poison, right, in the sense of lies and misinformation, and you dose on garlic, and your cold goes away. What you've effectively done is you've destroyed the bacteria that are trying to deal with the effects of your bad behavior in terms of diet and lifestyle. And you've just made it worse, okay? Now, if you go the alternative route and you go to the pharmaceutical industry and you take whatever synthetic drugs or whatnot, you effectively do the same thing. You destroy bacteria, you destroy viruses. I mean, they're dead to begin with. They're not living. So when we say kill a bacteria, I don't even know what we're trying to say, because they were never alive to begin with, and that's scientifically accepted. So anyway, whether you're reaching for natural products that destroy bacteria or pharmaceutical products that destroy bacteria, either way, it's the wrong approach. It's our energy directed at the wrong thing. Like you said earlier, we're trying to solve effects, and we're not asking the actual potent question. Why am I getting sick in the first place? Yeah. Because if you do know the answer to that question, and I can attest to this because I am a living example of this, as long as you align your lifestyle with the principles that undergird and govern life and health and wellness and true immunity, you will never experience the need for detoxing of any kind.
I'm
sitting here right now, and in 6 years, I've yet to experience so much as a cold.
It
simply does not happen. And it will continue to not happen or ever happen so long as I continue doing the things that I should say, so long as I continue not to participate in all of the cultural contrivances that
you are such an inspiration. Like, you know what, I feel like maybe for the future episodes, I feel like we could have had like an hour or two chat before.
Oh, easy.
You know, everybody was rushed. I think I'm going to restructure our schedule a little bit so that we can have a little bit more prepping time, because I feel like we could talk for hours and hours and hours.
Well, it is a lot.
Because I'm learning as we go here. There's just so much to learn. And the more you hang around people that, you know, are living a healthy lifestyle, that have courage, that want to give you courage, the more that it's going to rub off on you. Tina, my girlfriend, and I were just talking about how it's a good word is empowering. Mm-hmm. It's empowering. Yeah. And it feels great, because one of the things that one of the most pleasures we get is to see other people grow. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Something to remember about pathogens. That's anything that can make you ill. Mm-hmm. They have a different polarity than your body. That's why they do the damage. Your body's supposed to be negative. They're positive. They'll cling to a cell and cause damage. If you reverse the polarity, they'll fall away and get flushed out. That's what the body does. The immune system is part of that. Now, the other thing is they're anaerobic. Almost every pathogen is anaerobic. Does not tolerate oxygen. That's why I work with only oxygen. I don't use an antibiotic. Well, oxygen in that sense is, but you can't live without oxygen. Right. So if you can introduce oxygen, and then body has to accept it, which means you got to get your pH up. Because when your pH is below 7, you don't absorb oxygen. When it's above, you do. So when you've got a pathogen, and let's use a bad one, cancer, it's strictly anaerobic. And Otto Warburg in 1931 got the Nobel Prize for proving beyond a doubt all cancers caused by lack of oxygen. No one's ever proved them wrong. But they criticized him for being protected by Hitler as a Jew. As long as he did his research, he was protected, because Hitler's mother died of cancer and Hitler feared cancer. But that, I'm just bringing that up for the oxygen factor. All cancers caused by lack of oxygen. Now, there's another doctor in Germany recently, last name Hamer, no relation. He claimed that all cancers caused by emotions. And he's right too, because emotions can block oxygen.
Yeah, I was going to say, everything, you know.
Every negative person you ever knew was always sick all the time, sure, or suffering of something. It's their attitude.
Yeah. I know when I feel, when my body's functioning at its best, my breathing is amazing. You know, like when my anger's in check, when everything's in check, it all comes down to the breathing.
Well,
and that, you know, you don't have to consume anything really. And that's why they say like meditation is so powerful, right? Like you don't need to buy anything. You can do it anywhere. And once you get that breathing, like, you know, you just feel. And I mean, like, I've always wondered how people can just fast for weeks on end with no food, no water.
No, you don't have to starve to fast.
Is breathing a huge factor in that?
Yeah, it is.
Of course.
Don't forget, when you fast, you're starving the pathogen too. But you don't have to starve to fast. Bone broth, as I mentioned, you can have bone broth, and it'll keep you from feeling hungry, and it's got loaded with nutrients.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's never a one-size-fits-all approach, but that's why it's great having
this. Well, again, you got to understand the basics. And once you get the basics, then you're on the way to health.
And I think ideally it's, you know, your body, like, I like to just trace it back to our ancestors, right? What we did millions of years ago. And I think, like, you know, yes, you know, there's hunters and gatherers and stuff, but I would think that not always is there sources of food. Like, you might have to go days without food.
Well, that's true.
Let me try and simplify this for the audience, just to like in a kind of okay. bite-sized way. It whenever you're trying to recover from something, okay, it's very nature again. Mother Nature makes truth very, very simple to understand. Very, very simple. Whenever you're trying to recover from something or reconstitute vitality, all right, let's just take you yourself just had a very stressful day, like a very, very energetic, energetically taxing day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the best way to recover from a really long, hard day of work, of exertion? I'll just answer my own question. Rest. Okay. You have to go to sleep. All right. That is rest is the grand restorer of vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will restore yourself, your body, like rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely sleep.
So, yes. Yeah. Sleep. You need sleep.
Yeah.
That is where we get our energy. That's how we reconstitute health and wellness in the body. Okay.
Instead of trying to fit too much into your schedule so that you're relying on a coffee or electrolytes or whatever to keep you going, better just schedule yourself so that you know you have adequate rest so you don't need to be consuming extra. Right.
Now, rest works on other planes as well. It works in other, has other manifestations. Your digestive system, for example, the average person is having their digestive system work 24/7, but there's always stuff coming in and it's always having to work. Now, your digestive system is made up of organs. These organs are all muscles, right? They're involuntary muscles, not like our skeletal muscles, but they're muscles nonetheless, and they work under the same principles and paradigms that muscles do. So imagine if I were interested in getting stronger, would it be a good idea to just do bicep curls all day, nonstop, never sleep, just keep doing bicep curls? Right? How stupid would this be, right? It would never work. What is required for me to have growth and development of my muscle? I need periods of rest in the interim between these bouts of activity. Yeah. Okay, now, what's happening when we are digesting 24/7, even in our sleep, all the time? Our organs of digestion and elimination are never getting sufficient rest. So whether we're talking about going to sleep, whether we're talking about giving our organs of digestion and elimination a break, right? Whether we're talking about electromagnetic chaos, right? Being around screens and computers and Wi-Fi all day, what's a good way to feel better? You take a break from that. If you're working too much, just like you're an author, typing, what's a good way to just get a reset? Stop typing. Rest, regardless of how you slice it, is always the way to reconstitute health, okay? So that's very simple. Everybody can take that understanding and have their life improved just by that principle of rest alone, whether it's taking a rest from eating, whether it's taking a rest from work and stress, whether it's taking a rest just completely in sleep. That's, you are, anything that gives you health and wellness will always be riding on the back of the principle of rest. Always. This is why when you are sick, let's say you have a flu, anybody in the audience, okay, if you're listening, when's the last time you had a flu and had a ravenous appetite? You had a flu and you're like, God, I can't wait to crush a Big Mac. Nobody in the history of flus has ever had this urge. Why? Because your body and its intelligence is saying, you fool, you have done so much damage in the past couple of days, you need rest. And it shuts down the urge completely to eat because it's trying to conserve energy and put that energy into purging of whatever doesn't need to be there. All right. Now, if you're onboarding more food, what you're doing is you're forcing your body to expend energy and digestion, which is what it doesn't want to do when it's in the crisis mode of purging from poisons. Okay. So this is why, this is the great reason why you are never hungry when you're really sick, because your body is forced to kick into high gear, take the decision making out of your conscious hands, because it says you don't know what you're doing. Okay, I need to take Mother Nature needs to take over for a second. It robs you of your appetite, so that energy is conserved. Because digestion, believe it or not, is the most, if I'm not mistaken, the most energetically expensive process in your body.
Yep.
Okay, it taxes you beyond belief. So if you eat all day, you at some point you're gonna get sick, right? You need periods of rest. So that's what's happening, right? When we recover our energy, the more rest we're getting in all of its manifestations, physical, mental, emotional, right? The more rest you can provide, the faster you will recover. And if you're in your day-to-day life, you are affording yourself ample rest, sleep, digestion, right? Then chances are you'll probably never get sick, right? Which is where the diet and you know, lifestyle comes in. You can tailor your diet so that the stuff that you eat requires very, very minimal energy expenditure, is very easy to digest. And so you're always conserving energy so that you have enough energy for elimination and blah. So there's so many ways this conversation can get rerouted.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted to get that, get that out there, that every time you're healing, it's because rest is being exercised in some way. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's important to know.
That's great. I feel like this is so beneficial for myself. Yeah. Well, I'm taking back to those nightclub days that you're talking about, right? And I would pride myself in never getting a full on flu. So I guess that means my insides are fighting off. You know, they're going to work. But I also feel like I was caught. I'm constantly in the detox process.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I would hit the sauna the next day and everything. I'm getting better and better and better. And a conversation like this, I feel even more inspired. But why put yourself through that process? Because it's hard to go through that detox and then carry on with no rest. It's easier just to live a healthier lifestyle in the first place. Yeah. Get your rest and then you don't have to go through that.
Yeah. And you know, and just 2 seconds. The reason is because, well, most of us don't know exactly how much damage they're doing with the conventional way that life is set up, right? Yeah. We're just not taught that most of the things we do in our especially in our dietary lifestyle, typical normal dietary lifestyle, we're just not taught how destructive those things really are. And so that's, people are confused because they will be led to believe they're doing something healthy in their lifestyle. Oops. Where it's really doing some damage. And so it's not that people are wanting to damage themselves, they just don't know they are.
Yeah, true. Royce, what were you going to say?
Well, a couple things, but the nutrition is vital, and sleep is equally as vital, because you heal when you're sleeping.
How much sleep do you get?
Hmm?
How much sleep do you get?
I minimum 8.
How about you? That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
No. Minimum 8. I'm lucky, but then again, because I'm normally a light sleeper, I was introduced to cannabis oil, actually marijuana oil, and I make a brownies. And I take a brownie, put it in some yogurt and maybe fruit juice. I blend it up, and before I go to bed, I take it, and I go right through the night. And I'm pushing 80.
No kidding.
So I mean, I always slept good, but I was a light sleeper. Now I'm a deep sleeper, and I don't have to put up with the buzz.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching for the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah,
right.
Again, they're not part, no part of it. I don't deal with them. Yeah. However, that's me. But
Eli,
again,
how about you? When's the last time you used cannabis oil?
I have never used cannabis
oil. I didn't use it till a couple years ago. And when I tried it, when people offered me something, didn't do a thing for me. And I said, why the hell are people using this stuff? Then one New Year's, I had a cookie that my neighbor gave me, and I was supposed to go to a party across the highway. I wouldn't get near my car. I was looped. And it took, what, 4 different attempts? To wonder what was going on. Like, what are these people talking about? But apparently that's the way it works. That's another topic. But I'll tell you something. Marijuana oil with the THC is a big factor in stubborn cancers, of getting rid of it. The guy in the new Nova Scotia. What's his name?
Simpson.
Rick Simpson. Yeah. He really brought that to the light. I'm not going to call him an expert. He probably is. But he brought it to the light. He would sneak into cancer wards and give them just a little bit on the end of a, you know, end of a toothpick, and they get well. Not all of them, but enough to be highly criticized for healing people.
You know, I just want to say it's like with that story, Royce, it's like the medical establishment, you know, this guy had to sneak into the hospitals. The medical establishment treating these cancer patients with a very low survival rate, very costly, very harmful, if there's any benefit at all. And these are the people we're supposed to believe who want to give us a vaccine when we have all these other things.
You nailed it.
But no, but there's only one message that Teresa Tam or the rest of these people want to say, and that's, don't forget, folks, only one treatment for COVID-19.
Yeah.
And that's to take the vaccine.
A toxic jab.
I think it goes back to eliminating the problem at the source.
Yep.
Right? You know, I remember on the job sites, there's a saying, you know, like from a safety perspective, you know, you can eliminate the problem, you know, along the path, which is like add something that minimizes the risk.
Yep.
But the best way is just to eliminate that potential hazard in the first place.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So if you do that, then something like a CBD oil, which is better than a chemo or whatever, you don't even need that because there is no hazard in the first place. Then you're like Eli.
Exactly. Now, if our audience will help us form the Canadian Anti-Corruption League into a party, and I don't even like the word political party, help us form it, we will be in a position to change Health Canada because they're nothing but criminals. They're the only organization in the government that had a book written about him called Corrupt to the Core by one Shiv Chopra. And he had to blow the whistle on them, and he got fired. But he did a great favor to Canada, period. So help the CACL, and let's get these problems corrected.
Good to know. Maybe add something about Royce.
I'm putting up, that's the website right there, CanadianAnticorruptionLeague.org. Scroll down. There's a place where you can click, fill out the form, help Royce get the party going. Just saying. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Nice. What you're saying. Okay, so before, like, kind of getting towards wrapping things up here, I feel like we talked for hours. Eli, so what would you say in terms of trying to solve this problem, it's trying to stop all the confusion.
Yeah.
Well, all right. And kind of just, I mean, I think this conversation, I think it's actually great because when you're trying to get the point across to people or whatever, you kind of need to backtrack for a second and kind of give people the big picture. And I think it goes back to our roots.
It does. Remember I mentioned root cause analysis. They don't do that. They don't want the truth. So when you look into the root cause, you get the solution. And sometimes it's so inexpensive and easy, but they don't want inexpensive and easy. They need you under their control. And that's not, we need a medical charter of rights first.
No, we don't.
Yes,
we medical do. Bill of rights.
Oh, wait. What did you say? Medical
bill of rights, yeah. Well, we need to govern ourselves.
You should be able to tell your doctor what you want. And he's held non-liable.
How about this? Everybody becomes their own doctors, and you'd be liable for yourself.
Well, we can get rid of the doctors, we'd probably be healthier. That's a fact.
Yeah. Hey, Eli, what's the truth on polio, and what's the truth on Spanish flu? You want to get into all that, or is that too long?
Man, you said you wanted to start wrapping things up. That's to be honest, though, next week I will be... The lecture that you were referring to, the slideshow that I was, part two, I'm releasing part two of that next Monday. And in that, I will get into AIDS, polio, smallpox, the Black Death, STDs, rabies. I get into all of this, just blow the lid
off.
That's
awesome.
So that whole presentation is going to be up on my channel.
We were looking for it yesterday.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's, I will get into that. I think because we're running short on time here, you had asked a question. You had said, like, what's the best way to kind of get ourselves in the right mind frame of how, you know, because everybody's confused by this. Like, everyone's walking around. Everyone's, you know, got their face diapers on thinking that they're doing something constructive. And it's really frustrating. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so what kind of conversation can we spark to have people understand? I think sometimes maybe... I think what people can respond to well is when their own inconsistencies are pointed out to them, right? So you ask someone, hey, aren't you worried about contracting chickenpox from a room full of people who don't have chickenpox, for example?
Yeah.
And nobody is, right? Nobody's worried about contracting chickenpox when they walk around a mall full of people where no one has chickenpox. So it's just like, well, why are you worried about contracting flus from people who don't have the flu?
Exactly.
And they'll look at you like, well, because they don't know, right? So you pointed out an inconsistency in their thinking, and it forces them to reflect, like, oh yeah, why is that, right? So that type of thing, right? Engaging people and just asking some simple questions, and sometimes that can work, right? Instead of just, you know, being kind of belligerent about it, it's like, oh, you're an idiot. It's like, you know, they might not be as receptive to that.
I agree. I'm looking so forward to hearing your lecture, but quickly on the, like you mentioned the chicken pox, right?
Yeah.
And people are probably saying, okay, so like, how would you feel if you saw people with chicken pox, or if you saw people exhibiting symptoms of a flu?
Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable enough to go around them, or to put your grandparents around them in a room? What would be your simple answer to? If you could.
Yes, if I could, yes. I would be perfectly fine. It would have no effect.
And why? How would you explain that to people?
Same here.
Because chickenpox, right? So what is chickenpox? It's these pustules that that develop on the skin, right? Because usually in childhood, right? It happens usually in childhood because in childhood you're going through a growth phase, rapid growth phase. Okay, there's all sorts of hormones that are flooding the system in childhood that are responsible for this incredible spurt of growth, you know, of growth in children. Hormones, the byproducts of these hormones, once they're used, you know, in the system, they actually become waste products that need to be eliminated from the system. It's no different than, okay, why do we say stress is so disease forming, right? Stress is toxic, right? When you flood your system with cortisols and all of the stress hormones that necessitate the body go into that fight or flight mode. They have to be expelled from the body once the fight or flight mode is done. So let me digress again for a second. You're walking in the woods, half tiger, half bear just jumps out of the forest. And blah, right? Okay, yeah. You're scared out of your mind. You're not thinking about McDonald's. Right? You're not thinking about eating. You have to get the hell out of there. You run fight as fast flight. As you can.
That's your right? cortisol level, right?
So that's the fight or flight system kicking in. All the blood from your body just rushes out of your digestive system. We're not needed there right now. Nobody's eating. And it goes into your muscles so that you can get away. Okay. All these stress hormones, your adrenaline goes nuts, right? Makes you stronger, makes you faster. Okay. Beautiful system. However, that system, like we were talking about earlier with the principle of rest, it needs to shut off if you're to go back to your regular growth and development, you know, in that calm state. So, all of those poisons need to get flooded out of the system, right? Shuttled out of the system. If they don't, they sit there and they become poisonous, metabolic waste products, internally, endogenously produced metabolic waste products. So this is why stress, chronic stress, is so debilitating. It'll kill you.
Yep.
Right? Because you're literally poisoning yourself from the inside.
I feel like, you know, I'm not at the stage where it's killing, but I feel like, you know, like, definitely, I think all of us would really. Yeah. That's the number one thing is, you know, I gotta find. It's so much easier than having to, you know, just to find ways to make your life more simple and get more rest. Really. Right. Anyway, going back to the smallpox thing.
Yeah. So I was talking about chickenpox. I mean, a little digression there. Yeah. So, with children, you find this. You find that as they're developing, particularly if the child is being raised with all of the regular concomitant poisons that parents feel are necessary for kids to grow, because the whole culture is doing the same type of thing, you find these kids their bodies are having to go through a purging of some sort in that particular phase where they're developing.
Yeah.
So that you get the rush of hormones plus a little bit of the influence from the diet they're eating, and then they get chickenpox. Of course, kids that don't subscribe to the typical cultural modality of life, right? They might either not get chickenpox at all, or they might get just very mild symptoms of the detox of all the hormones that are concomitant with the growth.
So when people think that when people see other people getting chickenpox around the same time,
right?
You think that that's kind of age factors, your hormones hitting a peak at that time.
Yes.
Do you think there's also some physiological thing? You know, when you see other people, I use an example. Like, I can understand why girls sometimes, they used to say that they had their periods synchronized.
Yes.
And I used to say, how the heck does that work? Do you think there's anything going on like that?
Yeah. There's if you're into quantum physics, then you'll find this. It's called entrainment, principle of entrainment. It's a tendency for a dominant frequency, a dominant vibration to influence other oscillators or other vibrational frequencies of lesser potency, and to entrain them into the same rhythm.
Yep.
So when we are vibratory beings, we are putting out an energy, a vibratory signature into the atmosphere. I don't even want to use the word atmosphere, into the ether, into the everything and beyond, right? Stretches on into infinity. So if there are two frequencies that are similar enough, right? So two women, okay, two friends.
Yeah. Could be more. And,
or more. if there's a dominant frequency nature will tend to balance and harmonize. That's what it likes.
This thing helps balance.
You know? Yeah. It likes to balance things out. You have a clock ticking in a room with a bunch of other clocks. You leave them for long enough, and eventually all the clocks will be ticking in the exact same fashion, right? So these principles of vibration and energy, they tend to entrain one another so that they balance.
And don't forget, your food all has vibration. Mm-hmm. So some food is complementary, some is uncomplementary.
Yeah. And I'm kind of just picturing a bunch of people walking through a grocery store in a mask, and the belief that you should feel scared to go outside because you'll get sick from somebody else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily work. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But I think if society as a whole is everybody living in fear, mm-hmm. and everybody walking around scared with a mask, then I think that that's going to rub off on other people. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually the sickness. It's
fact. Fear is contagious. Mm-hmm. Happiness is contagious.
Yeah.
You get into a group of negative people,
yeah.
sometimes you realize it and you say, I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. You're into great, spiritually in tune people,
yeah.
and you just love the company.
Yeah. So,
but what we got now is a government that's trying to pitting people against each other, trying to create a climate of fear. The government and the media
get
together.
That mask on.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's just a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what? And they know that.
That's why we want to change
it. The climate they're creating is fear inducing. And ever since the dawn of authority on planet Earth, it has been known, very well known, that fear is the way to control a population.
Oh, sure.
It shuts off the rational thinking part of the brain. And it makes people subject to suggestion much more readily.
Fear and food, good control mechanism. They're control mechanisms. Yeah.
So to get towards wrapping up, Hugh, I think I'll kind of contribute to your job here. Thank you. going back to, and I give Tina credit for this word, empowerment. I think everybody's goal should be walk around with a smile. And make each other happy, because in all honesty, it's contagious, and it's way more powerful than fear, and it's way easier. And that's the way. I mean, you're here to live, right? You're not here just to get by. You're here to, life is an opportunity. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you, it's contagious, make, empower somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and things are, you know, it's, life is going to be happy for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else to add, anybody?
Nope.
That's great.
It was kind of nice digressing from the government and all that kind of stuff a little bit today.
Just Eli, where could people go see your presentations?
Yes, thank you. You can go to my YouTube channel is the Free Melon Society, and you can head to the channel, and then you'll find all my videos and find everything there. It's my most used platform. I have BitChute. I'm on BitChute and Odyssey as well, so you can go to the Free Melon Society on any of those platforms and find my stuff. I do have an Instagram Free Melon _ Eli. But I, you know, I'm not a big Instagrammer. I use it just to kind of upload, you know, stuff that promotes the channel. So so you can find me on Instagram as well at Free Melon Eli. Yeah, you can tell how often I use my Free Melon _ Eli. But the Free Melon Society is my channel. So if you're interested, then check it out. And hopefully there's something of value there for you.
Okay, fantastic.
And Royce, we already...
Well, yeah, the best one is the Anti-Corruption League. I'm also involved in an organic farm project. It's taken a long time. And I'm a health coach. I don't have a website on that. That's why I'm still in business, because basically I'm unknown by the bad guys. So that's me.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Ozone. That's it.
I've had
is that the show? Is that we done, Paul?
Yeah. That's good. You know what? I'm going to take away a lot from this.
Okay.
But it's absolutely necessary. You know, like, last week was all about. It's different. You know, maybe next week we'll get back to, you know, short. But there's no short term fix. I think that's the bottom line, and I think that's why we have to take a step back here. And it really, it feels empowering. It really does. It's inspiring. And, I think it's good for everybody to do that once in a while.
Yeah. Is it still live?
No, we're going to wrap it up now.
Okay.
Unless you had something you just wanted to say.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, we've been around here for what, 200,000 years or so without medical intervention and, you know,
but now,
jabs. I mean, we didn't make it here without all of those things. I mean, for a reason. Okay. So guys, take comfort in knowing that humanity has survived without the intervention of fear-inducing medical allopathic psychopaths.
How many years did you just say?
200,000 years.
200,000 versus how many?
Modern humanity is a fraction, is a blink of an eye.
Exactly. Right?
And, you know, the medical institution is a relatively new thing. How are we still here? You know, so just consider that. Just consider it for a second, okay? Your ability to remain healthy and well does not depend on you getting toxic pharmacological treatments that benefit financially a medical monstrosity. That's not where health comes from. Never has. So, you know, consider that just for a second.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Thank you.